Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And love letters, as you know, it's a very, very important part of life. And whatever life circumstances bring you, whatever happens in life, always leaves you with the seeds of a love letter to write to somebody. Gratitude, love, seduction, hello, goodbye, memories, thank you notes, apologies, it doesn't matter. Your truth put to paper in the most loving, compassionate way equals a love letter. And today's guest is Joan Gray, and I met Joan at the memorial for a friend who had just passed away. And when she stood up, a few people were chosen to say a few words. And when this woman stood up and she said, "I was Thad's caregiver," and said it the way she said it, I knew I had met a celebrity. And I asked her to join me. So here she is, Joan Gray. And hi, let's just talk about you.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm Joan Gray. And
as a professional caregiver, I mean, I met you through this.
Yes.
And you were talking about what it takes and what it means to take care of somebody at the end of a life.
Well, I've taken care of people at the end of their life, but also I've taken care of people that are handicapped and not dying,
young people,
old people. And taking care of someone, there is a little magic in it, and it is getting to know.
The magic was you. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's actually getting to know the person that you're taking care of.
Mm-hmm.
And using all the information that you take in by watching them, listening to them, just observing, and then using that to help them, and also help them even change their mind about things that they think that they know or think that they would be best for them.
Okay, so I want to ask you, for example, in taking care of somebody who is at the end of a life.
Yes.
And, how do I even phrase this? I don't want to say doesn't have as much to look forward to as somebody who's young and needs care. There's not as much hope in it.
Oh, but, you know,
I could be so wrong.
Well, you know, the hope is that someone has a good death.
Okay.
The hope is that you're not in any pain, that you are peaceful. Most people have no regrets. I've rarely met a person that has a lot of regrets. Most people, and that's even, I've taken care of a 32-year-old who was at his end. And he was loved. I kept him clean, refreshed. I spoke to him. I dressed him. I protected him because he had a crazy mother, really crazy mother. But anyway, I protected him and just made sure that he had the best end that anyone could possibly end. At 32 years old, you know, it's a sad thing. And his friends came and played mandolin and violin and, you know, just came in to rejoice and
And he took that in.
Oh, he took everything
in. I have a question about you, though. I can see where around you people would feel better. And one of the things you said about this friend of mine was, I was so struck by it, it was clear that you let him somehow know he was in charge.
Right.
At a stage of his life when he wasn't.
Right, right.
So talk about that for a minute, because people can't have their whole lives taken out from under them when they're still breathing.
Right. Well, yes, he was bedridden and couldn't walk, couldn't do much of anything. Couldn't go to the bathroom. So he wanted to have his cane at his side at all times. He can't get up and walk, but he wanted to have his cane, so I gave him his cane and laid it next to his bed.
So you let people make decisions.
Oh, yes. You have to allow them. You can't take things from them. You cannot. It made no sense to me, but you want your cane, have your cane. You know, if you want. I take care of a person that's like 101 years old, and people say, "Oh, I shouldn't have this. I shouldn't have that other piece of cane." You're 101 years old.
Have
anything you want.
Yes.
You know, but this particular person that I was taking care of, very, very smart, very, very talented, an artist in his own rank, I mean, talented, and always told me he didn't need this, he didn't need that.
And I wish it was for television so people could see your expression. Go ahead.
And I use that to benefit him, but
how do you do that? What do you say? I mean,
listen to him. I know that he was very talented. As I spoke that day, he was an architect, and I told him, like, I know that you are very smart, you are gifted, you are talented, and I couldn't presume to understand or know anything about your job. I don't know the ins and outs of that, and I wouldn't presume to tell you how to do your job. I told him, you know, I'm a real professional, and you've noticed how I take care of you. And are you comfortable? He says, yes. I said, do you trust me? He said, yes. Am I good at what I do? He said, yes. I said, well, allow me to take care of you. Allow me to give you some suggestions to help take care of you, things that you may not think
so that's
that
a huge,
are necessary.
That's a huge thing for somebody, and maybe more for men than women, although I'm going to be no treat at that stage of my life.
No, it's the same.
To surrender.
Oh, it's the same.
Is it?
Oh, okay. God, yes. Women.
Sure, because I think about my mother, yeah.
Yeah, women will gravitate, well, I can't say more. I've had people that only wanted to communicate with me in their time of passing, only. Family could be all around, and they will look at me, only speak to me, only touch me.
Well, why do you think?
Because it's too hard to let go. They need to, that's a message of telling them they can let go. They need to let go. They can't focus on you because it's too much for them. More
for the person who's dying.
No, it's
for the
much.
Family.
It's too much for the family. Uh-huh. More so than the person that's dying.
So that's one more area you're protecting
right.
them. Then to keep
the person dying or going to their next phase mm-hmm. wants to make sure that the other people are okay. So you have to tell them that. You have to tell the person that's leaving that it's okay, I'm going to be fine. Or else they hang on for us.
Oh, yes.
They
yes,
hang on
yes,
for us.
Yes.
I took care of my husband and my mother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't fully take care of my mother, but I had some part of her care.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband was 54 years old. Mm-hmm. Who wanted that? And I was a practically newlywed. But I wanted him to do treatment. He had cancer. I wanted him to do the treatment. He did the treatment. And I would blackmail him when he wanted to give up. You tell your daughter that, you know, and so he did it for me. And it almost killed him.
Mm.
So after the first phase and things didn't get better for him, he could have done it another phase of chemo and radiation. And he made a decision not to. And I had to respect that and honor that. It was painful, but to be the best person mm-hmm. to let him know that mm-hmm. that was fine. So what we did was we went to the Virgin Islands. We went on an 11-day cruise to process everything and just, well, we needed to do that anyway, but to have something else to focus on.
But what you're touching on something else that I'm so moved by, which is that the living have to be able to say, it's okay with me, I'll be fine without
that's right.
you.
You have to absolutely
because
tell
that responsibility,
them.
I mean, I can understand that. You don't want to let down the people you're taking care of.
I was taking care of one woman. She was relatively young. She was I'm 62. She was a little, I think she may have been my age or mm-hmm. a little younger. And her daughter, these people would lovingly make plans for her for the next day. Oh, this one's coming to visit. That one's coming to visit. And every time the daughter would leave, she says, oh, I'll see you tomorrow. So this one day, I get these feelings about things. And I told her, I went to the door when she was going home. And I said, you need to go say goodbye to your mother.
Oh, ouch. Yeah.
And she said, I don't want to say goodbye. So she said, what are you saying? I said, you just need to, every time you leave her presence, it's a good idea to say goodbye. You don't know if you walk in that door that she's going to be there. You don't know that when you leave here, you're going to make it back here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So you need
to be hit by a truck.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
You need to say goodbye. She broke down she cried and cried and cried. But before she left, she went and said goodbye to her mother. And that was the last time. That was the last time.
But that also allows her mother to say goodbye.
That's right.
And finish.
That's right.
Oh, my. What a tricky business, really.
It is. It is. And, you know, people don't want to hear that.
What is your spiritual stance here? Because you said passing on to the next, somehow whatever's next. I mean, you're not looking at this as...
Well, people have... I don't personally have a religious thing. In the spirit, the spirits are everywhere. I believe that my mother's spirit is here, my husband, my grandmother, mm-hmm. my great... I believe that people's spirits surround us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was making a joke last night about somebody said that the house was haunted or used to be haunted. And then I was like, I have no fear of any of that.
Mm-hmm.
There are people, there have to be protectors,
mm-hmm.
angels, they're called angels.
Okay.
So that's another phase, becoming someone's angel. And it's a comforting idea if that's what you believe. Mm-hmm. And even sometimes, even if you don't believe that, it's comforting for somebody to say that to you, that this person is looking out for you, looking over you, mm-hmm. watching you, still mm-hmm. loving you. And if you close your eyes and you smell, sometimes you can smell the person, sometimes you can feel the person, you can feel the presence, and you have to honor that and embrace that. Mm-hmm. Grief is such a hard mm-hmm. hard road. So, you know, we get angry, we do a whole lot of crazy things, but when we are able to embrace it eventually, because mm-hmm. it is a process, mm-hmm. and feel that, and remember all of the positives, or mostly all the positives, it's so much easier and so much, that's the process of grief, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And to know that someone is an angel looking out for you, hey, it doesn't get better than that for me.
That's wonderful. Of course, and as long as you're here, that person is still here.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
In what you remember and what you feel and things you say. I mean, don't you sometimes open your mouth and your mother comes out of it?
Oh, I look in the mirror and my mother says, it's even worse. I was just talking about that with somebody about fashion. My mother always said that everything comes back around. And I didn't believe it to this extent. And now I look at this stuff and I'm like, who wants to bring back hot pants? But anyway, that's another story.
I saw some of the stores. I just walked by here. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yes, absolutely. And, you know, when my husband was passing, I had gotten married at 51 years old. And it was the first time that I was married. And he got sick at 53.
Oh, that's horrible.
53 years old. Yes.
That's why you said I was pretty much a newlywed.
Yes, and he died at 54. But in his passing, when he was conscious and really very aware and doing hospital trips, he was very sad because he said, you know, it's not enough time. I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. So what I have, because I love photography and taking a camera everywhere I go, I had tons and tons and tons of photos of things that we did. We volunteered at the Woodstock Film Festival. I have pictures of that. Of course, I'm from New York. Mm-hmm. We did this. And the trip to the Virgin Islands, the Caribbean, was awesome. You know, his favorite island is Tortola. And I was just telling somebody, I think I may take his ashes back to Tortola.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to Hawaii in a couple of months. And I thought, I'd take him to Hawaii. It's like, that has no relevance to us. He loved Tortola, this white sandy beach.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved saying the word Tortola, you know.
That, yeah.
And I think I may do that. Mm-hmm. But I had all of these photos and all of this wonderful, wonderful memories, all in books. Our wedding album we had an awesome wedding. So I showed him all of these things and it made him smile and remember.
Good.
So yes, there may not be, you know, well, it says till death do us apart,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know whether that death is going to be 3 years, 1 month, 1 week.
Well, also listen to you, that death has not parted you.
Right.
At all.
Absolutely.
Another question about the way you treat people, and, you know, I see this, I'm sure we all do, is sometimes when people are very ill, they are people treat them as if they are
already dead. Yes.
Oh
my God.
Talk about that. Because every breath you take, you're still here. Every moment.
That's a tricky one because family wants to protect the person that's passing or ill, and still, and even if they possibly can get better, they want to treat them. And I remind people, your mother is sick. She's not dead.
Good for you. Oh, I love to hear that.
Oh, she's sick. She's not dead.
Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between living with the disease and dying from
that's right.
it also, no?
Yes, absolutely. People live with things. Somebody is living with something that we know nothing about every single moment. So that's another little thing about being more kind, because you don't never know what somebody's going through. And with cancer and so many different diseases so rampant, it's necessary to be a little bit more mindful. And I'm saying that out loud for myself,
mm-hmm.
you know,
for all
but
of us,
to remind people that, you know, your parent, your friend, your husband, your wife, they're not dead yet. Stop. They put on this dead music. Oh my God. Like you're like walking. Yeah, it's funny. It
angel,
is. It's like walking into a morgue. I say, what is that? Did she like that stuff when she was alive? No. Well, it's, you know, no. What did she like?
Oh, so that's a really good point, because I think
music
is, yes.
When my husband was passing, the hospital he was in was the Kingston Hospital in Kingston, New York.
Mm-hmm.
The ward, the cancer ward, I had a stereo in there, all of his favorite music, his pillow. You could bring your animal. People came to visit with playing music, all sorts of things. And that was, I had to move out of there by a truck by the time he passed because I lived there with him. But you made him feel he was at home because that's where he was going to be. I couldn't, our place was in a difficult location in the country, in the rural country, upstate New York. And it was impossible for me to take care of him alone, right? I didn't have the luxury of having a hiring a caregiver. I was a caregiver, but I couldn't do it in our environment. Right. So we went to an environment that was conducive to his passing and his living and enjoying the moments that he had. And it was in the country, and it was, he just wanted to go in the wheelchair and go downstairs and look at the trees and breathe in trees while he could breathe in something. And it was awesome. In the on the cruise, he took dancing lessons. I'm thinking, why didn't this man do dancing lessons while he was alive? I remind people also.
So why didn't he? And why was he? What do you?
He was stuck in his own way. You never think that you think you have more time. You always think
you have more time. It's always limited. I mean, we've all got when people
but people don't think that.
Yeah,
we don't think that as humans. We are never ending. We are
right.
Nothing's going to happen to us. It, you know, we just got married. You've got years to do that. You know, and people. I remind people, especially if I hear that they're newlyweds or you know whatever, even if they're not newlyweds, that's not true. Even if they're not newlyweds, to enjoy the moments that you have. Stop putting off everything that you have to do or that you want to do with that person until for another date because that date is not promised to you.
That's right.
That date is not promised to us.
Right.
So it makes people think. It makes people stop to think. You know, because
it should, yes.
Yes.
What is it you like to do best in this whole art and business of taking care of people?
Well, my favorite thing is traveling with a client.
Okay.
I've traveled with a 95-year-old woman from Oakland. I took her to Oregon to have celebrate her 95th birthday with her twin sister. The family didn't want to take her on the plane because people don't know how to really take care of somebody. Your family loves you, but they don't always know like the easier ways of transporting or this, that, and the other. And sometimes they don't even have the patience for it. You know? Or,
yes, that too. And sometimes also you have to have a certain physical strength yourself to help people.
Well, you know, you don't, you have to have, you have to have a little training.
Oh, yes, because you see these tiny little nurses
that's
in hospitals
right.
flipping
it's,
these great
that's
big feet.
Right. And it's, yes, we've learned how to do that. Right, I'd lift with my legs.
Yes.
But taking her to visit her sister, her twin sister, for her birthday. Awesome. Didn't get better than that. Well, I thought it didn't get better than that, but I took Ralph in New York to Vermont to dance at his granddaughter's wedding.
Oh, my goodness.
And he glowed. He's that was well. My wedding was the last wedding he danced at, but to see that the family.
So when you travel with somebody wanted to get in touch with you, and hire you to be the travel companion for somebody who's not well or needs help, and that could be at any age. Of
that's
course.
Right, any age or handicap. I've taken care of handicapped
people.
So
when you go, let's say you go with somebody, you share a room so you can be there and help.
Yes.
Throughout.
Yes. Well, Ralph, we
and you drive and or however
well,
you
drive.
Get around,
we flew.
You take charge.
We've flown. We've driven. Yes. Any way that you could take a train. People are ill. People are not dead.
Right.
Grandma wants to go to that event. Yes, you may not be able to take care of it, but somebody can. And I have a slew of women that are dying to do this.
To be companions for.
That's right.
Well, how do we get out the word? Because I hear very frequently, I was actually talking about you to somebody yesterday, and she said, oh, well, how can I get somebody like that in Denver? Now,
well, me personally,
this is a need
more
because we're living longer, and also we're living longer ill.
Right, yes, because of the different things, the Alzheimer's, the, I won't even get into the food and all this other stuff, but I don't know how to do it in Denver, but I can tell you how to do it right here
in
the Bay Area. You could contact me. And I have an email address.
Do you care to give that
out? Oh, yes.
Okay, why don't you?
My email address is JoaniBabe.
You have to spell it.
I will.
Okay.
JoanEBabe 719 at earthlink. .net.
Oh, I like the way you do that. I usually do that for people because that's how you have to do it. Because, well, okay.
Or you can contact me at area code 775-685-0657. And that's Joan Gray. And just drop me a note. Just if you don't know how to really go about it, just all you have to do is initiate contact, mm-hmm. and we can discuss it. Because
whatever the need is, yes, and you'll see yes, if that's something.
Yes.
That,
uh-huh. Yeah, and I love to travel. I have a valid passport. People okay, want to go on vacation. Yeah. They can't, you know, Grandma still wants to go on vacation right, too, right. And the whole family, but she may have some special needs.
Yes, so you can go with the whole family.
That's right.
You do something else in this whole area of taking care of people, which is, letting them know that they can do things.
Yes. Definitely let them know that they can do things.
And that they can have a good time at it.
Yes. I was hired in Reno, Nevada, to improve somebody's quality of life. She was 80-something, I don't really remember. And she had been an Argentine tango dancer. She used to own chapels in Tahoe and in Reno. Mm-hmm. Very, you know, well off, but living like a recluse, having 24-hour caregivers that just came into the house and took care of her. Well, she had a master guardian that I knew, and I said, well, what is her quality of life like? Well, she, you know, they just take her here, they take her to the senior center, and then they take her back home.
Oh, so you're drawing a distinction between taking care of somebody and caring about them.
Right.
I was going to ask you about that. So you seem to be able to be connected. I mean, you're not afraid to love someone right, knowing you're going to have to let go.
Oh, definitely.
Because so many caretakers are distant.
Caregivers,
thank you.
Oh, well, I think some people are protecting themselves.
Yes.
And but, you know, I don't know. I want to give somebody the care that somebody will give me, or somebody will give my grandmother or my mother, or God forbid, you yes, know, any member of my family. So that takes a caring person.
Right.
And more, they care. Maybe they seem
but
distant.
But also an emotionally brave person.
Right. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. And
that's,
I'm a little, you know, I'm a little verbal, you know, I'm
yes,
a little upfront,
yes,
you know.
Now, what about your own family? You mentioned you talking to your granddaughter on Skype.
Yes, my granddaughter, she's 2 years old, and her name is Zoe,
oh,
and she lives in New Jersey. And I went back in December.
So this is a daughter's daughter?
My son. I have
daughter?
One son uh-huh, and a lovely, lovely daughter-in-law
oh, nice,
who is an unbelievable artist.
Mm-hmm.
But I have right, family back east. Everybody's back east except for I have a sister here and
oh,
a
good,
nephew. Yes, that's the only reason I can. I left the East Coast after my mother and my husband died.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I told you that they died 4 days apart. And it was a little mm-hmm, devastating. So mm-hmm, I went on a little escape route.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't drink, I don't do anything like that, but I escape by shopping and moving. But my family...
But your sister was here. So
my sister was here, yes.
You had a soft landing.
Yes, 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 eventually, yes.
I mean, with her at least,
yes,
yeah.
And so Zoe is an unbelievable little girl who I love dearly. I don't see near enough, so I do...
Mm-hmm.
I bought Apple products so I could do a FaceTime.
Yes, nice.
And... her family is very talented. They are musicians. They have a music school, Swan School of Music.
Oh.
A little plug there.
Sure.
And so Zoe is a little prodigy, and she likes to play music. She likes to sing.
A prodigy at what?
Of anything that you put in front of her.
Oh,
she likes to sing. She likes to dance. She loves ballet. She likes tap dancing, and she's two.
Yeah.
And she likes to play. She plays a ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
She has drums. She has all kinds
of
instruments.
She's really got the soul for it. Well,
oh,
okay.
Yes.
Her name is Zoe. What? Well, let's
Zoe
keep our,
Amber.
Zoe Amber.
Shabazz.
Shabazz. Keep your ears and eyes open because we'll hear from her.
Zoe
soon.
Amber. That's right.
Do you get because of I'm about love letters? Do you get a lot of them? You must.
I do get a number of them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the loveliest things that I get is recommendations.
Oh, isn't that? Oh, a whole new kind of love letter that I never thought of.
That's right.
Of.
Retired Teachers
and
Association.
And by the way, my list is long. Oh, I'm going to add that.
Retired Teachers Association in San Francisco.
Thank you.
I took care of a librarian, and Marion Frierson. And I took care of her for a year and a half. Don't tell me you know her.
No,
oh,
but I'm so excited at this.
And
new...
so I took her to events, and
mm-hmm,
all of her friends, her lovely friends and other teachers
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm,
the association, when they need someone to take care, if somebody calls to the association and they ask for a caregiver, they'll recommend
oh,
me.
Oh, so you can do something even for a day
oh, yes,
and help. But that, oh my goodness, of yes. course a letter of recommendation
a letter
is
of recommendation
a love letter.
Is a love letter.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Yes.
Do you write letters yourself?
No, I do. So this is the area in my life. I make cards. I do photo art. I don't go any place without a camera, and my camera is right
there.
Here. Yes. I'm a magnificent, I have a great eye. So I take pictures. I print the pictures mm-hmm. at home, and I mount them on these beautiful embossed cards.
Yeah.
Very simple, blank. So for your friend, Dad, mm-hmm. I gave Anna a card that I took in her yard of a hummingbird mm-hmm. in a feeder across the way, and that's from there. That's from them, you know, from their area. And I make cards, or I give people cards, or I actually sell cards.
Oh, okay. So that's for them to use
yes.
as stationery.
Yes. And I just give them things that are around in their area. So my sister wanted to buy some cards. So I printed up a bunch of things that she liked, that I knew she would like, and I sent her 50-something cards for her to pick out. She picked out 30 because she couldn't stop. But I sent her pictures of things that we'd done together. A lot of things that we had done together that she would know, oh, this was here, that was there.
Gosh, what a wonderful idea for a family even, like for this friend of mine or anybody. So cards with that person's likeness
yeah.
on the stationery.
That would be something else, yes.
You know, get 2 dozen of those after it's over so that you can write to people. But what about, can I give you homework?
Oh, sure.
Okay. You've got a lot to say. And a lot that's really worth passing on in your own handwriting, because handwriting is king. Nobody
okay.
has your handwriting.
That's true.
Nobody.
My chicken scratch?
Doesn't matter. It's yours. And by the way, people say that, you know, my handwriting's so bad. Nonsense. Because it's yours.
Yes.
And if it's so bad, truly, that nobody can read it, you can still write it and then send a typed version.
That's true.
Somebody did that once, and I thought that was great. But what about a love letter to Zoe?
Oh.
Telling her what you do and how you take care of people and how important it is to take care of people that you love.
You know, I did that for my son when he was little.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because I was a single parent. And I told him that, you know, he was never the man of the house. He was the boy, the child of the house.
Oh, aren't you smart?
Yes. But his responsibility was to take care. You don't hit mommy, you don't hit people, and which was actually detrimental a little bit because he was so nonviolent that people he got a little
kids
bullied.
Would, yeah.
And he had to then you have to teach him to stand up to,
right.
for himself. But he taught him, and he is such a great man.
I bet.
My son, and I'm not saying that because he's my son. He is a good son, he is a good husband, he is a magnificent father, and he never changed a diaper in his life before his daughter was born. Never,
wouldn't that make a wonderful love letter? Because when she looks back, when she has something in your handwriting, and you're gone from this earth, she will hold on to that.
I will do that.
You know, when my mother died, my niece, her granddaughter, one of her granddaughters, was so bereft, and every time she found a letter in my mother's handwriting, she would call me.
Oh, nice.
And say, look what I found in Grandma's handwriting.
Nice.
It's like she's
nice.
Here.
Well, I'll do that. And, you know, that's funny because I still look at my mother's date book.
Oh,
I have her date book,
so
her address book.
My niece wanted my mother's
address book. That's right. And I just like
so
to look at
you,
it.
So that you can see.
And she had beautiful handwriting. That's right. And I, you know, you remember that from signing your report card from your earliest age. That's when you really notice your parents' handwriting.
So doesn't it mean a lot?
It means a lot. Yeah, you're right. What I used to do when I lived in New Jersey and my nephew lived here, who still lives here in California, I would make tapes, because it was before videotapes, voice tapes. I'd ask him to spend the day, let me spend the day with him, and he would do things with the recorder on, and I would do the same.
Now, that's wonderful, except those things rot over
well,
time.
Well, but who knew? We didn't know that then.
Well, we do now.
We do now.
But you see letters that are 400 years old written
yes.
by, you know, Marie
yes.
Antoinette or something.
And that's a really good idea.
And you know what you could, what I do? You send her a little self-addressed stamped envelope and a piece of paper.
Oh, yeah.
And say, if you want to send me a picture and put it in here, I'd love it. And
that would be a great love letter.
Wouldn't it?
That is awesome. And I'm going to pass that on, Miss Love Letter
herself. Thank you, dear. Oh, I wish we had just hours. I could listen to you forever. Forever. Thank you so much for doing
this. Oh, thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
Anybody who has this marvelous woman even for a day or a half an hour like I do right now, is lucky.
And again, that's JoniBabe719@earthlink.net or 775-685-0657.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, dear, so
Thank
much.
You.
And I hope you'll come back sometime and we'll talk about
my pleasure.
Something else.
That would be my pleasure.
Okay, so this is Janet Gallen and Joni Babe saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.
For now. And please remember, if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, every moment is a special occasion.
Absolutely.
And you can write to somebody. Bye.
Bye-bye.